This episode of Star Wars in Character is sponsored by Jet's Toy Hut at ToyHut.com. Jet's Toy Hut offers Star Wars collectibles from every era of Star Wars collecting. Vintage collectibles from episodes 4, 5, and 6, Power of the Force 2, prequel collectibles from episodes 1, 2, and 3, and AFA graded items from all categories. Buying an AFA graded item from Jet's Toy Hut eliminates the guesswork on what the item you're buying would be rated by having the entire process already completed. You can see all of Jet's Toy Hut's AFA graded items, along with Jet's Toy Hut's entire inventory of Star Wars collectibles by visiting them online at toyhut.com. That's ToyHutt.com.
Topanga.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Captain Panaka. Captain Panaka appears in Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Tim, if you know what this next, what my name is, I'll be impressed, okay?
Okay.
My name is, I'm probably saying it wrong, Christoph Sis Chris.
What is that?
That's Chris- the planet of Christoph Sis. That's, God. Someone dies on that planet.
Well, the information I found is where Anakin meets Ahsoka. Is on this
planet. Oh, yeah. That's the planet.
That's the planet where Anakin meets Ahsoka. Yeah.
And you know that.
That's the planet. It looks like a office buildings. It's the planet that the movie opens on. And then there's also an episode in season one of the Clone Wars where they actually show you the prequel to that episode.
All right, enough of that name.
I'm so glad you used that name.
Yeah, I saw it has a name in it. Today I'm joined by General Matt Quarry.
Oh God, I don't even want to. Don't bother explaining it. Just keep going. Next.
Okay. Barada Dave.
Why that association?
Barada Dave.
How about Barada Dave?
Yeah, Barada Dave.
That's next time.
You suck at this.
Save the same name for two times around.
Okay.
And Tebow Tim.
Well, you always call me Timbo. So.
I do, but
that's true.
Would have gotten
Timbo.
It.
What's Tebow? Oh, the Ewok.
Ewok,
yeah.
Okay.
Timbo Tebow.
Tebow, yes.
Give me some facts about Captain Panaka.
Captain. Now, you pronounce it the way I used to pronounce it. I always pronounce it Panaka. It's Panaka, I've discovered.
Okay.
I always put a second N right before the K. And so for the past, 12 years, I've always been pronouncing them Panaka.
What?
But it is, in fact, Panaka.
At the top of my page, I was right on my notes who we're doing. I have Captain who?
I put Typho. Is that not who we're talking about?
No,
same person?
I thought it was Panaka.
What are you saying, man?
Panaka. No, Panaka.
No,
yeah.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
P-A-N-A-K-A.
And then I thought it was like.
Damn, Chris, come on.
It was Mr. Katanga from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And then I thought it was Topanga from Boy Meets World.
And it's Pikachu.
It's Topanga.
Topanga, yeah.
I had no idea what this guy's name was the whole time.
I thought it was like Pancake, the breakfast joint down the road.
Pancake, yeah. Captain Panaka. For those who don't know who Captain Panaka is, he is Queen Amidala's chief security guard. He is her bodyguard.
And some job he does.
He just stands there. We can't do this. We can't go there.
Yeah. He was born on Naboo, born and raised on Naboo, but he was educated off world. He was educated in several locations, and he has a variety of education. One of his instructors was actually a Zabrak, which
what?
Is
oh yeah,
which is the Darth Maul species.
Oh.
He was a Zabrak from the Trackers Guild, so he was taught how to track. And as we can see, obviously Zabraks are pretty good at it, because Darth Maul was able to find Amidala on Tatooine pretty quickly.
Even above Panaka, Topanga.
Katanga. I don't think he could find anything. He was a very negative kind of guy. He was kind of a naysayer, but I choose you, Panaka. His education and his variety of education actually helped him earn a position in the Royal Naboo Security Force. And he started working under King Varuna, who was Amidala's predecessor. Now, King Varuna died I'm not really sure how he died. I couldn't figure out how he died.
Suspicious death.
But a suspicious death. Yeah, it's unknown exactly how he died.
Probably was being guarded by Banaka, and he did a bad job again.
He looked away. Like, oh.
Yeah, he's like, oh.
Another one.
But no, and after King Varuna was gone and Amidala was elected queen, and I'm not really sure how that all works out.
Elected queen. Can we talk about that for a second? Elected queen.
I always thought, you know, you were, when you're a queen or a king, it's for life, but apparently they have term limits on Naboo. It doesn't make sense. I'm not trying to be
prequel negative, but the material makes it really fucking hard.
You know, it's one of those things that sort of makes you scratch your head because we're so used to thinking it as being
no. Don't go down that road and try to convince me that he's some kind of revolutionary in the concept of royalty.
Well, apparently in this, George Lucas is a revolutionary in the concept of
Jesus Christ.
No, but no. Even when I watched Episode One, I did scratch my head at that. But I take it for whatever. It's such a small thing to me. I don't even think about it. Yeah, this is what I wrote. That's the next thing I wrote is he was constantly a naysayer. This is the most negative guy on the planet.
Absolutely.
Every time anyone comes up with an idea, he's like, oh no.
We can't do that.
Don't go there.
Go there. Yep.
This is a battle we cannot win. He's just a ray of sunshine and everyone. He's a real go-getter.
Yeah.
Is he supposed to be her bodyguard? Because she gets captured how many times in the movie? The battle droids come in, and it's like, Viceroy, we've captured the queen. Nice job, Banaka.
Banaka Topanga.
Yeah, well, if he's her guard, does he know that Padme...
I was thinking the exact same thing, Tim.
Does he know that that is actually the queen that he's sending off with Qui-Gon when they go to Mos Espa?
That's a great question. I wrote that down too. I said, does he know the whole Clark Kent Superman thing? I mean, like, you know, he's not surprised.
I don't know. It's never really said. I didn't go back to watch the scene where she reveals herself to Boss Nass, but I have a feeling he doesn't know.
I watched the scene and I want to say, Tim, damn you, because you made me watch most of this movie again. We should never have done this guy. He's a major character.
He is a major character, yeah.
He's in every scene that the queen is in. He has a lot of lines. He is, I can't forgive you for this. And especially for making me watch Boss Nass again.
I love Boss Nass. I really do.
Oh, my God.
I really do. I like, and I'll say this. I like Panaka. I like him a lot. And I'll say this. He is, to me, he's very Star Wars-y. Because he's there. He's there,
yeah.
And he. I don't think, for me, unlike the other two prequels, his role is very defined. It's you know why he's there, and he doesn't. I don't think he doesn't get in the way of my enjoyment of the movie in any way. It's kind of like all of those nameless inept imperial captains and officers that you see in the original trilogy. They're kind of there. I don't know if I'm making sense, but to me, he's just very star. He just sort of plays this sort of inept officer this whole time, very much like the Imperial officers in the original trilogy. And to me, he just seems very Star Wars-y, whereas he's there. He has a role. You see what he's doing. You understand what he's doing.
See what he's doing. He's doing nothing.
Well, that's the thing. There's other characters that are merely put into some of these. Some scenes, especially in episodes 2 and 3, where they're strictly a visual character, but they're put there, and your mind sort of goes and it sort of wanders like, what's that guy's story? Whereas Panaka, you don't think that. He's just there. You don't really think about it. Like when the first time you saw Empire Strikes Back, did you ever wonder what General Veer's story was? He was just kind of there, and that's kind of what Panaka is.
Tim, I think I understand what you're trying to say, and although I still hate
I'm not saying it very well. I know that.
No, I
you know what, Tim? You're not convincing me yet, but if you say he's very Star Warsy one more time, I might buy it.
I think he's very Star Warsy. I think
so.
Holy shit.
About-
I love Captain Patanka.
I understand what you're saying, Tim. Like some of those guys, they're vapid and mindless, those Imperial officers. And he does fit that bill. So if that's what you think of when you think of Star Wars, he does fit into that mold.
Certain, I think of certain character types. And while he has a much more higher profile role in episode one than even, any of the, I'm trying to think of that guy who showed up in both Empire and Jedi, the
Piet?
Admiral Piet. Yeah. He's like Admiral Piet. It's like, you know him, you look at him, you recognize him, you're there with him, you know what he's doing, but he's not getting in the way of the story.
I understand what you're saying, and I think I actually do agree with you in some ways. I still hate you for making me watch this. But he is, if you're saying that those guys are inept and kind of like background, but they're still something that you associate with Star Wars, he does fit that bill. He is inept. He's in it a lot.
He is. Yeah. He's always there.
And like they said, he does
shake his head.
He does nothing. Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon take out most of the battle droids. He holds his weapon.
Which, by the way, he shoots the glass 46 times until it finally fucking breaks.
Yeah, when you see him, he's responsible for one battle droid. I watched this damn thing. And he finally shoots something, and it's a window.
46 times.
46 times.
You know?
He's responsible for her safety, yet she's captured and attacked. He's very excited when Palpatine is nominated for Chancellor. He's like really into that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like they go for this final battle. He's not even with the queen at the beginning of the battle. And then he lets her lead the battle. She's always in front of him. And she's really like she's protecting him.
Kind of. I guess. At that point, I have a feeling his entire self-esteem is crushed by like Qui-Gon constantly like saying, oh, we're going to Tatooine, but it's run by gangsters. We're going to Tatooine. Huh? He's like, oh, right. He just gets kind of pushed aside. I have a feeling he probably develops a deep prejudice for Jedi as a result of that whole experience.
You asked this question and we started talking about this because you wanted to know, you were wondering if he knows about the alter ego. I did watch a scene when she reveals the fact that she's a queen, and they make a point to show a close up of his face, as they do several times, and he's often expressionless. He is not surprised at all.
Yeah.
But you can't really tell if he's reacting. I mean, he has reactions throughout the entire movie. The only time he has any kind of reaction, it actually involves her when they're on Tatooine and they're about to leave to go in to look for the parts. He comes out with Padme. And it's funny the way he delivers a line. He delivers it almost in a complaining and very annoying way. He's like, the queen wants you to take her handmaiden with you into town. So it's almost like at that point he doesn't know. But if he does know, he's acting on her behalf.
Yeah.
Like he's
he's very insistent. He's like, the queen wishes it. Like he's got that the wishes. It's almost like in quotes. Like he seems like he puts up his fingers,
right?
And does the little air quotes,
right? What do you think he knows?
I really don't know. I don't think he knows, because if he did know, and he knew that was the queen, you'd think he would go along with he would come up with some excuse like, oh, Obi-Wan's got this and Rick Oley, he's got a gun too and they can hang back there.
I think he's just bad at his job.
I think that's he knows. When he turns to her and says, the queen wishes, he looks at her like almost like talking to the queen right then and there.
So you think he knows?
Yeah.
Tim, you got to make a decision, Tim.
Because he has to protect her and this is all part of their plan. Like, why would she...
He's protecting her by letting her go away with some strange.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a who is it? A droid, a Jedi, and a bumbling fool.
And he's a bumbling fool.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Who's more inept in battle, Captain Panaka, or Jar Jar when he's bumbling around, you know, accidentally destroying everything around him.
Well, yeah, but who's more, but that makes him more effective, even though he wasn't any better at it, in a sense. So that doesn't answer your question. Never mind. I don't know.
More battle droids in this movie than Panaka Topanga.
He does. He kills several more, but it's all accidental. Panaka. What is his damn name?
Panaka.
Okay. That guy.
Topanga.
You see him physically on screen shoot one battle droid, and he also takes out a pane of glass. Yes. That's all you see.
He's a fighter.
I think it was also his idea to split up.
Get me as far away from the queen as I can.
Yeah. So that was very instrumental in winning the Battle of Naboo, is splitting them up. Does he go up? Is he one of the guys going up on the
thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
On the wire where you see the one guy going really slow.
Yeah. And then they speed it up to make him get killed.
Yeah.
There's actually a YouTube clip of that. And it's like, it's almost like the, what do you call it? The magic bullet in JFK where they analyze it because they claim he kicks Padme on the way up.
Really?
Yeah. That's not my website, but I'll post it on Facebook. It's actually pretty funny because his leg does swing and hit her, but he doesn't actively kick her. But the video is pretty well done. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
What's embarrassing for me, I think, is Captain Typho his nephew?
Captain Typho is his nephew. We'll get to him in just a second.
Captain Typho is such a badass, cool dude. And this guy is,
who's Captain Typho? The guy with the eye patch.
Yes.
I thought that guy was like Filipino. That guy's black?
Please.
He's tan. After Queen Amidala becomes a senator, her term is over as queen, and she runs for senator and wins. Panaka remains on Naboo, and he is then Queen Jamila's secretary. She's the queen that we see in episode 2, but when she goes to visit Queen Jamila, there's no Panaka to be seen. So where's Panaka? Was this a day off when she goes and sees her? He and Anakin
shooting glass.
He's doing what he did with her. He's just not doing his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
And he's the son of a bitch. he actually, after the start of the Clone Wars, he actually discovered somehow, apparently he can't figure anything else out, but he can figure out this gigantic secret.
I saw this.
And Anakin and Padme were in fact married. So he figures this out. And what does this guy do?
Yep.
He runs and tattles. He runs and tattles to Palpatine because he is a Palpatine lover. He loves Palpatine.
He does.
Well, that's
so he goes and tells him. So that's how Palpatine knows that they're married. So this guy here is instrumental in the downfall of the universe.
Wow.
by being a little tattletale bitch.
That's at least consistent with the movie because, like I said, when they find out that Palpatine's been nominated for Chancellor, he's
doing fucking back.
He is excited.
Guess what?
He starts breakdancing and shit.
Yeah. he is a Palpatine man. You know, he's that's his politician. He loves him. And at the end of the Clone Wars, after all is said and done, Panaka is still alive. And he remains loyal to Palpatine. I don't think he knows that Vader is Anakin. I firmly believe that very few people know who Vader's real identity is. But this son of a bitch brought down the galaxy. Loose lips sink ships.
But what does Captain Typho kick this guy's ass?
Well, yeah. We'll get to that in just a second. Let me just finish off his story. He eventually, when the Galactic Empire comes around, he's still Palpatine's bud. He is promoted to a colonel during the Galactic Civil War, and then he is promoted to the level of Moff, which is basically a territorial governor. So obviously, having connections with Palpy got him to the top. I don't know what his final fate has not been written. I don't know if he survived beyond the Death Star and the second Death Star, but he was a pretty high ranking government official. But I don't know where he went from there. He was played by the British television and stage actor Hugh Quarshie, and I like Hugh Quarshie. I've heard some interviews with him, and he seems like a pretty genuine guy. But he was Panaka was actually originally written into the script for episode two, but Panaka, Quarshi made the mistake thinking that he was more important than the character, and he had a salary dispute, and he wanted more money, and I guess he wanted points and residuals and all sorts of stuff. And Lucasfilm was like, we're just going to change the character. So they just took his character, turned it into Captain Typho, played by Jay LaGaia in the EU or in the retcon. Captain Typho is the nephew of Captain Panaka.
So Typho wasn't in the first one?
No.
Oh, I thought he was in both. Okay.
And he's only not his salary. He pulled a
yeah, that was it. That was it. And he's I was listening to an interview with him on another podcast, and he speaks pretty freely about it, and he does express some regret. I've never met Hugh Quarshi. He's only done a couple appearances in the United States. I would love to meet him because he seems like he's, from the interviews I've heard of him and read, he seems like he's probably a pretty nice dude. Yeah, so he and his agent made this stupid mistake of trying to ask for more money when it was clear that his character is non-essential. You could put anybody in that role, and they did. And actually, to our benefit, because to be honest, Jay LaGaia
is awesome.
Yeah, without Hugh Quarshi not being able to do it, we wouldn't have got Jay LaGaia. And Jay LaGaia, again, in the movies, again, you could put anybody in that role. But he's been the MC at the last three Star Wars conventions, and the guy is great. Jay LaGaia is just a talent.
He's funny. He can sing. He can dance. Yeah. It's amazing.
But none of that is important to people like me. These guys stink in the movie. I don't care if he can sing or host an event. These are bad characters. I know people get angry. We're a little too prequel heavy
bashing
on here, but. That doesn't matter to me.
No,
I don't know who these guys are, except somebody who's bad at his job, and he's in every scene that she's in.
Yeah,
yep.
It's a waste.
Shoot the glass.
Well, I mean, again, as I said, he's a character, and they don't put any frosting on his role. It's a bare bones role, and I think he plays the character as well as he could, and again, the character. He's not supposed to be the hero. He's just supposed to be there. So he's there. He's plaster. He's wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
He's very Star Warsy.
He's very Star Warsy.
I can hear that
again. I say that very subtle Star Warsy. You know, Star Warsy, Hammerhead and Bith. Yes, when we think Star Wars, we think aliens. But when we think about some of that other little things that make the original trilogy work. I think some of those aspects you can easily put onto certain characters in episode one, especially like Captain Panaka and Rick Oley, the Naboo pilot that gets them off the planet. Again, you know, very vanilla character, but he plays his role, and he does it to the best of his ability, and he's gone and forgotten about it. You never think about him again.
Are we done talking about this guy, Tim?
Yeah, seriously. It's like you're starting to make a case for the state.
The only
at this
other
point.
Thing I just want to talk about some of the things that we've seen Hugh Quarshi, and he's been a longtime cast member on a British TV show called Holby City, which I've never seen.
Yeah, but I don't know that one.
That's been on for well over a decade.
NBC.
But he has appeared on some fan favorite properties. He appeared on an episode of one of the recent series of Doctor Who. His voice was used in an episode of Red Dwarf.
Really?
Yeah, and I have to go back and find that episode because
Matt, you took
me on to Red Dwarf years and years and years ago, and on Netflix, I've been rewatching them.
It's one of the greatest shows ever made, regardless of the country.
Yeah, great show. But he's not physically in it. It's just his voice. Yeah, I have to go back to that episode. But, Matt, he was in Highlander.
Oh, that's good.
He played Sunda Castigar.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I used to.
So that's
you know what? Speaking of Highlander, Highlander has the same fate as Star Wars had for me. I loved the first Highlander. Then the crappy sequel came out. Then the even crappier sequel. Then the even crappier sequel came after that. I don't even like the original anymore. So
my hate.
So that is just not limited to Star Wars. The Star Wars prequels. It translates to other movies I used to love as well.
But he was in the original one, so he was in the one that you loved.
The good one, yes. And I actually just rewatched that because Riff Trax just put a track out for that. So I didn't realize that was him. That's kind of cool.
But that's all I got to say. But as I said, I like Captain Panaka. I don't have a problem with him at all. I know some people, they don't like him because he is so vanilla. But yeah, I like him. So that's my final word.
He's just frustrating to watch, I think, because you're right. He is in the background, but there are times that he's not in the background. He's got a lot of close-ups and a lot of lines. And to me, he's a major character. We should have never even done this, Tim.
Would you say he's more major than Watto? I remember that was a debate. Is Watto more major of a character than?
No, I think this guy's more. I think this guy's more major than some of the. Like, to me, he's almost as major as Jar Jar.
Okay, I can see that.
He's in it. He's in it so much. He's even in the final shot when the frog guy's holding up the disco ball. Whatever's going on at the end there. I don't know what that ball is. I have no idea what's going on at the end of that movie.
Don't get the part.
What is that ball, Tim? Tell me.
It's called I'm Recreating the Throne Room or the award scene so that you remember that you like Star Wars.
I like that.
I don't know. Who hands her the ball?
I don't know. Boss Ness holds up a ball and says, peace, and he's standing there. I like his costume.
Maybe he's alive. Let me see if I can find out what that name is. You know, an interesting thing about you mentioned the final scene. That song that's playing, that celebration song, is actually a reworking of the Emperor's theme song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I'm just trying to see if I can figure out what that is. I can't. I don't know that. I don't know the name of the ball.
All right, forget it. What is the is the ball like? Some kind of Naboo relic or some kind of energy?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to find. I'm here on his Wikipedia page, and there's a picture of him holding the ball. Like, wee!
He's the source of all our winning personality.
Yeah, it just says, you know, in the Avnas solemnly attended the funeral of Qui-Gon, then jubilantly participated in the grand parade. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Globe of Peace. The Globe of Peace.
But what is it?
It was a relic of the Naboo people. It resembled a small sphere which glowed with iridescent light and symbolized the years of peace that reigned on the planet.
So it's something that the Gungans stole a long time ago. They're finally giving back.
Well, no. Apparently, Queen Amidala presented the globe.
Oh.
And Boss Ness has a first name, Ruger.
What?
I love that it takes four guys to research one scene to make any sense out of it.
I'm so confused.
The picture, if you go onto Wikipedia, Globe of Peace, the picture's great. It shows Boss Ness holding it up, and you see Palpatine with the biggest smile on his face back there, wearing his, you know, outfit from the Merry Land of Oz.
I'm sure Panaka is also in that scene with no attention whatsoever.
In the front.
He's still trying to figure out, is this the queen or is this the handmaid? What's going on?
Panaka. Yep, he is there. He is standing in between Jar Jar and Palpatine. His legs are at a 17-degree angle.
Well, I end up talking about, I for whatever reason, I end up talking about race a lot on this podcast. And I wanted to ask you guys, how much pressure was maybe Lucas under to get some more diverse characters in here? Because up until this, you had, I mean, we talked about race a lot on here with Watto and Nine Nub and the Wookiees and that kind of stuff. But up until this guy, I mean, you had two black guys in Star Wars. You got Lando and you got the black Bespin guard.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Oh, you got the guy carrying the ice cream machine in Cloud City during the evacuation, too.
Okay, I've heard about him.
Will Ruff Hood is that guy's name.
And that's the second time his name has been mentioned on this show. That's awesome.
You get, you know, Kevin Smith fans, you know, Lando's the blackest man in the universe. You get that whole stuff, and it's really funny. But now when the prequels come out, you got Jimmy Smits, you got this guy, you got Mace Windu. Like, this is the Rainbow Coalition now, Star Wars. This is like a Star Wars that even Jesse Jackson can get behind.
I don't.
Speaking of Jimmy, the Jimmy Smits casting as Bail Organa, don't you think Leia at one point in her life looked at her father and go, you know what, maybe I'm adopted?
Well, do you think that he was under pressure? I mean, there are a lot more. There's a lot more ethnicities in the prequels. Do you think that was intentional? Like,
I think that it was intentional to have a diverse cast. But I think initially, when he was thinking of Star Wars, I think he initially wanted to have a relatively diverse cast. Like, because he for the role of Obi-Wan Kenobi, his initial idea was a samurai, and he had thought of Toshiro Mifune from The Hidden Fortress, the Kurosawa films.
Yeah,
and actually, Hidden Fortress was an inspiration for some of the aspects of the plot in Star Wars. And as the movies go on, if you watch in Return of the Jedi. I mean, I think even throwing Lando in as an African American, throwing him into Jedi was probably.
Wait, is it an African American? Can he be like a Coruscantian Alderaan?
I was trying to be as PC as I could be, but okay. No, as a black guy, you know, they put Lando in. I think that was kind of a surprise. And then when you watch Return of the Jedi, while it's not blatantly diverse, but there is a black pilot and there's an Asian pilot. I have a feeling that his vision for Star Wars of having these different ethnicities and race, I think that was his plan all along. I think he would have liked to have done that initially with Star Wars, but since he was working with the studio system to get the first Star Wars done,
all the mistakes are not George Lucas's fault. We already established that.
So you think it was intentional to get guys like Banaka, and it wasn't it may have been the intention all along, but it just never happened before. So now it's happening, and it's happening consciously. Is that what you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think we're done talking about this guy.
Didn't you ask all of us that question, Dave?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay, just checking.
What do you think, Matt?
No.
you don't think he was thinking we need to.
No. No, I don't think he put that much thought into any of the prequels.
Oh.
It's sad.
I think we're ready for Matt's website, hopefully.
You're just like, you cannot wait to stop talking about
There's
this guy.
To talk about.
I have a lot to say about Captain Who.
Captain Who.
Who was in Doctor Who, right?
Captain Hanky Panky.
He was also on an episode, some episodes of The Tomorrow People, which was a show I used to watch when I was a kid, but I don't remember any of those episodes.
And you said, man, that guy looks really Star Warsy.
Yeah. I probably would have thought that, man.
If only.
That would have been awesome. I can't wait till they make episode one and he's the chief security officer of Naboo.
He does nothing.
Who fails miserably at every turn.
Shoots the glass, that's it.
Shoots the glass.
Oh, well.
Hey, Dentim?
Broken glass is dangerous. I'm done.
Matt, do you got a website about?
I do have a website. And ironically, because we were made fun of his name, I found it from making fun of his name. It's called a site called mypokecard.com, and they made up a fake Pokemon card for him because of his name, I think.
I'm laughing.
Oh, wait, before...
Oh, come on.
Before you go on to this, I'm sorry. There's one thing I need to add.
Oh, God. Is this Tarful 2? I mean, no. Is he a basketball player for another foreign land or something?
No. In Brazil, and I would assume in Portugal, they had to change his name. Hold on. Let me look it up.
Tell us.
Whatever.
They had to change his name because Panaca in Portuguese
means
douchebag.
Well, now that I think Lucas would have actually thought out.
It means like basically an asshole.
Well, I take it back. I think George put more thought into the prequels than I ever gave him credit for.
That's the best fact. Tim, just erase the whole podcast except this little part.
You should have led with that, Tim.
I can't see what they changed it to. My computer's running slow, but it was like Panassus or something like that.
Panass.
They had to change it to Panassi. Oh, Panassi. We can make that dirty too.
Please.
All right.
So anyway.
Yeah, See?
Oh my God, really? Are you done, Tim? Seriously? Please, Tim. Fuck.
I'm done. I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't even care about my site anymore. Tim ruined this whole show.
Right. Oh, well.
Is it time for trivia?
Please hurry up. Before Tim says, oh, one more thing.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He played a tooth in the third grade in the school play.
His hat was actually based after the doorman of a swanky hotel Lucas once stayed in London. And he really, really liked that hat. And he thought that is going to be the hat that is going to be iconic to this character I'm creating for episode one.
Wikipedia, look it up.
All right. Well, let's go.
I'm sorry, Tim. That was mean.
But it's funny.
It was funny.
It is.
And we condone it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go through the scores. Okay. They're pretty much the way they were recently. I don't remember anyone getting one wrong in a while. Do you?
If so, it was me.
Yeah, probably. Well, you're in the base with 11. Then Tim with 13. Then me with 14. And Matt ahead with 16.
Good job, Matt.
So that's the score stand. And Chris, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Remember, there's always multiple choice available, but not always necessary. So here's your first question. In The Empire Strikes Back, who said the line, quote, I am not a committee, end quote?
This one I know.
Really? You rarely say that.
And I'm delaying. Because I'm trying to find a button I can push.
Oh, jeez. All right, well, I'll say it again for people who may be listening. In The Empire Strikes Back, who said, quote, I am not a committee?
Oh, for God's sakes, come on. Just answer the fucking question.
I would say it's Princess Leia Organa.
That is correct, Princess Leia. Congratulations.
This is the whole movie right here.
Yeah, that's not a soundbite.
No, it's not.
That's the entire script.
Now we're going to get in trouble for copyright infringement. Good job, Chris.
All right. Tim, are you ready for your question?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's see what we can do for Tim here. All right. What, according to R2-D2, were the chances of surviving a harsh night on Hoth?
Oh, my God.
No, you...
Well, remember, Tim, you don't take multiple choice, so if you were to take it now, everyone would think much less of you.
I'm just picking random questions. I did not select this particularly for you, Tim, but you might have to take the multiple choice on this one. What, according to R2-D2, were the chances of surviving a harsh night on Hoth?
All right.
Multiple choice?
I'm going to take multiple choice.
Here's a hint.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Because really, I mean, it could be any number. The one number that pops in my head is 432. But
okay,
please, that's not my final answer.
Maybe hearing these will ring a bell.
Yes.
Was it A, 893 to 1, B, 1,298 to 1, C, 725 to 1, or D, 3,720 to 1? 893.
C final answer.
725 to 1?
Yes.
Nice job, Tim.
Nice.
I feel a little shamed for having to take the multiple choice, but I mean, really, it could have been any number, but yeah, that one's the one that sounded familiar.
That was a tough one. So you heard the number and a bell went off in your head.
Yes.
All right. Well done, Tim.
Thank you.
That was
tough.
It was impressive. All right, that means it's the leader, Matt.
Yeah. What? Ow. I won't be able to hear your question now because Chris just deafened me.
You need to put that thing down before you blow somebody's speakers out.
I do.
All right, Matt, here's your question.
All right.
What, according to Grand Moff Tarkin, would keep the local systems in line?
For once, I don't need to use multiple choice because I'm almost positive the answer is fear. Fear of this battle station.
That is absolutely correct. Nice job, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very nice. I'm impressed. I would have needed the multiple choice on that.
I would have gotten that one wrong.
Yeah, the multiple choices were...
Yeah, yeah, we'll keep the local system in mind.
Multiple choices were the Senate, allegiance, and taxes.
Taxes. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, fear was the correct answer, and you even added to it by saying, fear of this battle station. So, yeah. Well done, Matt. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Are you ready for yours, Dave?
I am ready. You probably picked out something like, you know...
I just picked one out. It's just a tough one. I don't even think Tim knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Who designed the B-Wing Starfighter?
Oh, I know this.
You do?
I do know this.
I do not know this.
This is a bullcrap question. You know that, right?
Oh, this is for Dave? I thought it was for Tim.
No, this is for me.
Oh, crap.
It's for you and Matt. I just saw your little thing, and you're correct.
All right.
See, now, this is horse hunting.
Well, I think if I give you the choices...
There's a young child in the room, and if there wasn't...
I don't know why she's still up.
All right, let me hear these multiple choices.
This might help you out.
This is nonsense right now. I'm telling you this. This was not mentioned in the movie.
This has nothing
to do with Star Wars.
This is a lot like the lightsaber, Luke's lightsaber question that Chris had.
This kind of stuff I get from you.
Which I knew, too, by the way. Just want to say that.
What's that?
I knew that one too, by the way. So,
thank you.
I want to know, Matt, how you knew this answer.
It must be in a book or something.
Yeah.
All right. General Madine.
Mm-hmm.
Commander Akbar. Not Admiral.
Commander Akbar.
Commander Akbar.
Now, the fact that they changed his rank, to me, that means something, but I'm still listening.
Mon Mothma.
Women don't know how to design spaceships.
and General Calrissian.
All right, it can't be him. I'm eliminating Mothma and Calrissian.
Why can't Lando make a ship?
Weren't there B-Wings before he became general? Like, weren't there B-Wings in Star Wars?
There probably
like
was.
In Episode 4? When nobody knew who he was in Nighthawks with Sylvester Stallone. I'm eliminating him. I may be wrong on that, but I gotta make this easier for myself.
I like this. This is your. I like this.
Yeah, you like this because this is a horse crap question. Let's see. I gotta go with, because they changed his rank, and it seems like some kind of weird, stupid backstory that would be in one of these books that I would never read. I am going to go with, what was Akbar's rank?
Commander.
I'm going to go with Commander Akbar.
Is that your final answer?
Why not?
Impressive. You're right, Dave. Tim, you have any idea about that one?
You know what? When you said Akbar, I immediately thought of the Mon Calamari ships being sort of roundish. Yeah. The B-Wing is a sleek, just like a bubble with a long wing on it. So when you said that, it made me think... That sounds logical. But yeah, and the fact that it says commander and not admiral.
It must
be. That was kind of a little bit of a hint there. It sort of seemed like.
You narrowed down the answers perfectly.
Thanks. You narrowed down my question horrendously.
Wait, what it said. So.
I'm just kidding. No, I like that. That was challenging. And I don't read those books or any other Star Wars books. I think reading's a real giant waste of time, actually.
Matt, I agree. But, Matt knew that one immediately. I mean, he sent that one over quick.
What book is it from, Matt? Like, how did you know that immediately?
I don't recall exactly what book it's from. I don't. But I do remember, and you're exactly right. They said something about, I do remember the scene. I remember Princess Leia was flying somewhere, and it was a modified B-Wing that could hold two people, and they went on, they said that Admiral Akbar modified this because... He's the one who originally designed it, and yada, yada, yada. I mean, it went on for pages. You were exactly right. It was like the just throwaway backstory about the B-Wing.
That was in one of the Zahn novels.
I don't recall. It certainly could be.
One of those Zahn novels.
All right, well, none of us have gotten one wrong in quite a while, and I hope that if you're listening at home or wherever you are, you can say the same. And thank you for bearing with me during my process of elimination, because I do not read those books. But I know that a lot of people do, including, I know, Matt, you're a pretty big fan of some Star Wars literature.
Yeah, more into the audiobooks lately, because they seem to do the big ones all audio, and that's just easier to do. I mean, I can do it in my car and whatnot, but I have been reading them for quite a long time, and it's kind of like these. There's some really good ones, and there's some really not good ones. So,
right. Well, excellent.
We want to. I wish someone would get it wrong so I can catch up to somebody.
Well, you know, the other thing that I think we should mention is we should thank people who have taken the time to write a review for us on iTunes.
Yes.
We each participate in several different podcasts, and of the two that I'm in, I can't believe how fast we've accumulated the reviews we have.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate the fact that y'all are listening to it and are willing to take the time to even do that. It takes a couple of minutes, but I know I listen to a lot of podcasts and sometimes I'm just like, I'm not doing that. But we got to 70 reviews fast. Ooh. You know, I mean, like
we did
real fast. We've done one other podcast called The Great 80s, The Great 80s Movie Debate. We've been doing that for a year and we're nowhere near that.
I don't think our flagship one, Trailer Pod Boys, has that many.
Right.
Or what used to be our flagship one at this point, no?
Well, I really think that's cool. Like I'll check that every once in a while and it'll be at 60 something. Next time you check, it's jumped up like 3 or 4. It's like, wow, you know, like we really appreciate that. And it makes it easier. I was astonished at how fast that got to 70.
And not only leaving ratings, but actually writing reviews. I mean, I think that of all our podcasts, we do this as the most written reviews too. And it's not just like good show, you know, keep going. There's like, you know, people are writing out full paragraphs. So I want to jump on with Dave and thank people for taking the time to sit there and think that out and write it as well.
Absolutely. And I think I feel confident in saying this for all of us. I encourage the bad reviews too. Like I know that not that you want bad reviews, but I want to know what people think. Right. And there are some people that have a few problems with some things that we're doing. And, I want to know that too. Like, you know, just write anything. We appreciate anybody taking the time to listen to this at all. And, the fact that there's so many reviews, I'm real proud of it. And I think all of us are, and we appreciate everybody that has done this. So thank you very much.
And you know, we should mention too, since since we are looking for any constructive criticism or anything, if you don't want to broadcast it on iTunes, we have a contact page on our website and that address is swic.neozaz.com. So you can drop us a line there too. If you, like I said, don't want to fire up iTunes, have to sign in, you know, and write out the review. If you do have something to say, you can always drop it there as well.
Absolutely. And just looking at the ones that are on iTunes, of all the ones that are there, if you just type in Star Wars in a search engine on iTunes and go to podcasts, I think we have like the fourth most reviews of any show. Hmm. We've been doing this a couple months.
Huh.
There's been shows that have been on there much longer that don't have near the amount. And that's all because of you people listening. So thank you very much. It's really, really cool.
And if you get tired of Tim's Penanga stories, please do tell.
Ooh.
I love Penanga.
Me too. It makes my breath feel minty fresh.
they were going to kill him in one of the early episodes of the Clone Wars, and they decided to take him out. So he may appear in season 3. Or 4.
Can you fucking stop talking about him already?
My DVR is set.
Panaka.
Oh, I want to talk. We would like to thank you for this Star Wars and character discussion about Topanga.
Katanga. Panaka.
Panaka.
Pancake.
Shlemiel. Shlemazel. Hasenfefe Corporate.
We're going to. All right. Join us next time. We discuss For Lom or For LOM.
Or Zuckus.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.